Welcome to the Three Kings Podcast, the one place where real men have real conversations, but from a kingdom point of view. With your hosts, Rob B-Free Badgett, Will Big Steel Wells, and Rob Resurrect Connolly. Sit back, tune in, and let the King speak.
Of the Three Kings Podcast. I'm one of your three hosts. My name is Rob B-Free Badgett.
They call me Rob Conley.
My name is William Wells. Yes.
And we are back for another edition.
Another edition.
You know, we've been really...
Another one.
We've been really brewing up on some things. We've talked a lot about a lot of things. And, you know, everybody knows that we were in education. We are in education. What I don't know is why...
Why we're in
how did we get there?
I know.
I don't know if anybody did. You plan it?
No, I did not plan it.
I didn't plan it. I know how I got there.
How did you get there?
I did not plan it.
Mm-hmm. Did I get there?
Yes.
Yes, you first.
So
now I'm starting to think. I know how we started.
Yep.
We were all substitute teachers at one point.
Yes.
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 Oh my God.
But even before that, I got into daycares. I was working at a daycare.
You worked at Kitty Haven.
Yes, I did.
Which oh my God.
You sure did. And I worked at Stars in Randolph.
Is that the special needs one?
No, it's a daycare.
Oh, when you dated all the single moms.
Shout out to Kitty Haven.
It was a date care.
Yes.
I also worked at Brockton Day Nursery.
Yes, it did.
Worked at Brockton Day Nursery. Shout out to Brockton Day Nursery, too.
Hey, Tyrone, is that your mom?
You know what's crazy?
Why are you missing?
Tyrone!
Come on, man.
Tyrone!
Come on. That's not...
He was dating parents?
He was! All of them.
You know that's against the rules.
Hey, Malik, is that your mom?
Do you know the rules?
Out there.
Do you know the rules?
Yeah, I was dating moms.
Hey,
When I worked at Kitty Haven, the director used to smoke cigarettes in her office.
Oh my gosh. What?
This is a daycare.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, there's kids on the other side of that wall.
Wow.
You're smoking a cigarette.
Wow.
She was like Marge from Monster. Like, smoking a cigarette.
Hello, Robert.
Like, he's acting up, bringing it in my office.
You're in class. You're in classroom 7.
Exactly.
Get the kids off the box.
Here's your paycheck. Lady, mail that to me. I don't want to talk to you.
That's so crazy.
How did we end up here? I don't know. I'm like, yo, how did our paths are similar but different?
Yeah.
But how did you end up in education? What was your track?
Yeah,
you
started off.
My first job. Before Kitty Haven, I was on the YMCA. Not the YMCA, I'm sorry. The Boys and Girls Club.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, you know, an artist in high school. And I don't know, somebody told me something about they needed somebody to volunteer to teach art. No, I think I probably just went to the Boys and Girls Club to play basketball and found out that they needed somebody to teach art. And I was like, yeah, I teach art to the kids, no problem. And I was doing it for free at the age of 15.
Nice.
And then by the time when I turned 16... one of the directors came out and said, hey, you want a job?
Really?
I'm like, you want to pay me to do what I was doing for free? All right, sure. Why not?
Mm.
So I'm like, oh, so I liked working with kids. And then when that was over with, I hooked up, I think, with Ty at some point and was like, you know, I'll work at a daycare. You know, I like kids. I just realized I liked kids.
Yeah.
And you know,
did you work at Brockton Day Nursery too?
I worked at Brockton Day Nursery.
Nice.
You know, because I was like, I was working at Kitty Haven and I was just like, this is crazy. So let me go to a good daycare. So then I went to Brockton Day Nursery.
Do you know who else worked at Brockton Day Nursery?
What, Tanisha Smith?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Do you know who else worked at Brockton Day Nursery?
Your sister. William?
My sister did.
Your sister did.
Oh, she did?
Do you know who proposed to my sister at Brockton Day Nursery?
I did.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. That was interesting. I remember a picture of it.
It went really well, too.
Yeah.
That is great.
It all fell apart.
Yeah. That's awesome. So he proposed to your sister
at Brockton Day Nursery.
I was dating your sister when I was working at Kitty Haven.
Slide that right in there.
Wow. I mean, if you want to throw people on the bus, I'm on.
No, that's not a bus. Too. That's just stating the data of the facts.
You know, I still remember what I wore.
You wore some jeans and a plaid shirt.
Nope. I had jeans, my Tim's. And had a very tight sweater and an earring.
Oh, yes.
And a watch.
How did you end up working with kids? I didn't never saw you as kid friendly.
Was not finished.
Oh, yet. Sorry. Go ahead.
Pastor Rob was not finished.
My bad.
Yeah. So
Rockton Day Nursery.
Rockton Day Nursery. And then, when the three of us started working in the youth ministry at the church,
yes.
I just realized, yo, I got a love for kids.
That's right.
So I was like, yeah, I'm going to just run with this.
Yeah, you were very kid friendly.
It was.
Yeah. Not sure about this guy.
I was. Kids love me.
We all loved kids.
You worked in daycares.
Yeah. We all loved kids.
Yeah.
Which one?
I told you I worked in Stars.
That was after school program.
Yeah.
Right?
It was after school program. Daycare.
Mm-hmm. And then you worked in Randolph. Which one was the one that you tried to get Rob killed?
No, that was Charles Collaborative.
Did you talk about that?
That was Charles Collaborative.
That was such a rewarding year.
What?
Working with special needs. I was like,
oh, I thought you'd been working with this dude.
Absolutely not. I always wanted to do that. I always wanted to work with special needs kids. And I was like, I was thankful and scared at the same time.
That's when you got a disease.
Not of the kids. I was scared of William.
He got pneumonia.
Pneumonia.
Yo, I did.
Yes.
The first week, I got pneumonia.
I couldn't wait to get pneumonia and almost died.
Shut up. We were bashing him too when
dude, I really thought I was going to die. Like,
I think you got pink eye too.
He
did.
He didn't get pink eye.
I think he did.
Yo, I was like 300 degrees, and then 5 minutes later, I was 17 million below zero. I'm like, what is happening to me?
He got really, really sick.
Yo.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
I remember.
It was
bad. But were you responsible for that?
I was even sicker of my paycheck, but that's another story.
Oh, gosh.
What happened, though, at that job, though?
So, anyway, so.
Because you used to sick Timmy.
I got started in the daycare working with young
people. Can we talk about Timmy first,
though? In Randolph.
You used to sick Timmy.
And then from there, I started working with the Charms Collaborative, but I was also a substitute teacher before I went to Charms. Mm. I was at Charms for like 4 years. And then I had left and then went back to Charms to work with our kids. Charms was a special needs program. I absolutely loved those kids. When Rob came on, I tortured him a lot because the kids loved me. So I'd always get them, hey, get Rob. He's bad. He's evil. He's evil. And they would just go after him and attack him.
They attacked me.
They did.
They attacked me.
Multiple times, especially Eddie and Timmy. Oh my God.
Did either of you ever work at the Judge Rutenberg Center?
No.
Yeah,
I did one day.
You did one day?
I was like, done. I was like, I'm not working.
I went for an interview, and I was like, gross. No.
Yeah.
You know why I didn't work there?
Never.
Because they shocked the kids?
Because your brother was working there, and he told me the story. When he had to use the taser on the kid, and he couldn't handle it. And I was like,
that's right.
I'm not about that life.
Yeah.
Those horror stories your brother told me.
Nah.
Yeah.
Detrimental.
Do you think, I have my plot, and then I'll say something that just popped in my head.
Okay.
Anyways, so I worked at Brockton Day Nursery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I ended up at that job. Here's the thing. I think that I was good at with kids. I just was not good at being an employee. Like, it was just not, I don't know, just like,
yeah, you were terrible.
I was a horrible employee.
Did your sister get you a job? Your sister?
She worked there. My brother worked there. I did the summer camp things with the Boys and Girls Club.
Wow.
My first job
was
at 14 at the Boys and Girls Club. Oh. My first paying job. I got $4.50 an hour.
I got more than that at Big Valley Outlet.
Did you?
When I was 14.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Right. So I got that job. That was my first job ever. I was only 14, so I was working, and some of my friends were going there, and I was their counselor, and I was 14, which was weird. I worked at the YMCA, the little Y and the big Y.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the positive role model thing that you could be for kids.
Yeah.
And then, you know, years later, I worked as a substitute teacher. I think my first term as a sub when I was like in my 20s was way better than I was in my late 30s. Like. Mm. Late 30s, I was like a horrible substitute teacher.
You were terrible. You had no patience at all.
Because I would go there, and I just would have my laptop, and I'm working on different designs and websites and stuff. I just needed somewhere to be to make some extra money at the time.
Everybody bashed you at the school.
I don't think everybody did.
Most people bashed you.
The staff, yes.
The staff bashed
you. The kids didn't.
The kids loved you. The staff
did. But the kids listened to me.
To bash you.
The kids listened to me, though.
Did y'all sub at every school in Brockton? I subbed at every school in Brockton.
So my first year subbing, I subbed at every school. And then my second year, I was able to get into Brockton High School. So Miss Wilder was doing like an internship because she was becoming an administrator. So she asked me if I wanted to be a long-term sub for her African-American history class.
Oh, and you subbed for her?
I subbed for her for a whole entire school year.
Okay.
Senior class.
I didn't know that.
So I had to teach.
She was actually teaching.
I had to teach. I had to do all these things, man. Come up with, that's For real? It was fun. How old were you? I was 23.
23
years old.
Teaching 18-year-olds,
right.
Nice. That's wow. what I was. Same thing. Yeah.
23 teaching 18-year-olds.
I was like 21.
But it was so fun. And then you get to go on the field when they graduate.
Yep.
Yeah, kids coming up to "Oh, Mr. Wells, they get, like, and like
Mr.
This is,
Wells.
This is what this is? Oh my gosh.
Let me ask you a question. So I know, I believe that we were all called first to work with young people.
Sure,
right?
Absolutely.
And those young people eventually became adults. And then it's like, you know, you're leading those same type of people and so on and so forth.
Uh-huh.
Was that ever your plan, though, or did you fall into it? I know I just kind of fell into it, right? I had two plans out of high school, right? Oh, both of them failed, right?
Yeah, sure.
First one was I was going to go to the military. And, you know.
Yeah, you could have cut your hernia.
Yeah. You think that's funny?
No,
I didn't find that funny at all. Yo, the only goal I had was to go to the military.
If someone punches him in the stomach, he's dead.
He says, the doctor, so here's the story, right? I was going to go to the military. It's in my yearbook and everything. Good luck in the Marines. And I had signed on.
Wow.
And then the weekend before you deploy, you have to go in for a physical with the doctor.
Yes.
They keep you up in this hotel for a weekend. You do all these series of tests. Now, there were two things that I failed in. One, because I got one of my knees, it's a little extra, right? So the bone protrudes a little bit. So you had to do this exercise where you have to throw your body on the ground just on your knees. And they have to hear your knees hit the ground.
What?
It has to make a sound like boom. Right.
What?
And so all these dudes are in this room and you got to go boom, drop to your knees so that your knees will echo and hit the floor.
Why?
I don't know. Well, so we had to do that. I could barely do that one because my knee was like, yo, I can't do this. So it has to hit. And then
if it protrudes, it should have hit first.
I was doing it with my left. I was like, I can't do this. And so then the second thing was they examine you and it was like, oh, you know, how long you had that? I was like, well, so for ever. And he was like, I don't think I can pass you. He's like, these two areas, blah, blah, blah. He's like, if you were to jump off the back of a truck with a 50-pound bag on your back, you know, it could burst. If you want to go get it removed, you can get it removed. And then, you know, we can go ahead and I was like, I'm not doing all of that.
Yeah.
And that was my first plan. So after that, I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do now. I guess I'll just get a job. And I started working at a warehouse. filling up trucks.
You were working with Stefan.
I think, I don't know.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I just black out certain parts of my memory. Okay, okay.
I remember that very well.
He was working there.
Yes, he was.
It was
Lamine were working there.
Yes, Franklin Sports.
Franklin Sports, yeah.
He worked there, Lamine worked there, and Buck worked there.
Buck worked there, yeah.
Right? That's right. The little weed gang. So...
Gang.
So that was, I was like, all right. And then after that, I was like, oh, well, you know, I think I'll enroll in school with you, which that was like, let's just go to college then because I have all this free time.
Yeah.
I don't know what else I'm going to do.
Necessary.
And then I started the business track. And I think what happened was as you're doing that, he's like, okay, well, what job can I work and still do homework where it's not going to be overly taxing on your life?
Mm-hmm.
And, how about substitute teaching? Okay. All right. Because I remember a dude saying that he used to come in and substitute. And he was like, yeah, I'm just working my way through college. And I was like, oh, well, let me go try that.
Sure.
Started there. Boom. Got stuck there. Now, let me ask you a question. How come you guys never went, the full traditional route where I'm going to teach in a classroom, grade papers, and I'm going to make a career out of this lane of it?
Because I didn't want to teach for a career. That's not what my plans were. That was the plan to make money at the time. That's not what I wanted to really do.
What was your original plan coming out of high school?
So I had two plans. One plan was to be a professional fighter.
Really?
Yes. I was going to be a professional fighter. My mom, before she died, made me promise to not go that route. Mm. So I never broke that word. So I stopped competing.
Oh, and, that's what happened.
Yeah, so I stopped fighting.
I thought you ran out of
style was going to become professional.
No.
What'd you say?
The bear style. He was creating all
I just
styles.
Thought
that was my nickname when I fought.
I
Kuma.
Thought he ran out of videotapes to get a style from.
No, it was Kuma.
It's a VHS.
You watch those videotapes? The trash.
VHS Kung Fu.
Fake garbage nonsense. Get out of
go
here.
Go ahead. What was your second one?
So when that didn't work, so my second plan was to be a police officer.
Really?
That's right. Yeah. I remember that.
Police officer. I was going to be a cop. I was hell-bent on being a cop. Took the test.
Did you?
Passed with a 91, what, 93.
I did not know that.
I passed with a 93.
What happened?
I never got a call.
How does it work, though?
So I guess you go into a, or I guess it depends on your score. Hmm. So obviously, even though I scored a 93, there were other people who scored more than me and who had military experience. So those guys wound up getting chosen. Right.
Mm. Okay.
But for me, I probably would have screwed up anyway because the only part I failed at was the color test. Because part of the first part of the exam, you had to look at an entire neighborhood and you had to observe everything. Mm. Then it said, all right, time's up, flip it over. All right, what did you see? So you had to describe everything that you saw.
Wow.
My colors were way off.
Yeah. And why did you fail the color test, William?
Because I'm colorblind. So my colors were way off.
Has that ever affected you at one of your kids' jobs before?
Yes, it affected
my Please job tell before. The story.
So when I worked at the transition house, one of the kids escaped. And I had a friend of mine who was on duty, Brockton police officer. And I called him and I said, yo, can you look for this kid? He's blah, blah, blah. He's wearing this. He's wearing that. So, like, a few hours later, he comes back with the kid, and he's like, Will, first of all, he wasn't wearing anything that you said he was wearing. Your colors were way off. He's like, I only noticed him because he looked out of place. That's the only reason why I was able to pick him up.
Oh, this is Officer Wells. We have a suspect.
I know, can you
he's
imagine?
He's wearing a green jogging suit, blue shoes, and some white pants.
I would have been terrible.
Seen on Main Street.
I would have been terrible. What color is he wearing? Purple, I think.
Yeah, what color you have on?
Tell me.
Tell me right now.
Tell me.
Hold on. He said white.
Yo, wait. Can you imagine me going to court? And having to think about, so what was the person wearing that day?
No, what if he was on jury duty? And they
oh, my God.
Can you, somebody died.
So we're going to jail because of me? Because they got the wrong colors?
What was your plan out of high school?
My plan out of high school was to be a professional rapper.
For real?
Professional rapper.
I never knew that. Did you know that?
Did not.
I wanted to be a professional rapper. That's why I was in a group. But even... Early on in high school, I was trying to get into D1 to play ball.
Basketball?
Play basketball. So I was a typical black person's dream. Right?
Did you know that?
So
I didn't know that.
But, you know he wanted to be a professional basketball player?
Basketball, yeah.
Basketball, rap, and all.
Did you play for high school ball, though?
I did play high school ball.
You played for Brockton High?
I played for Brockton High.
I don't remember that.
I didn't play. So here's my basketball story.
Okay.
The third thing I wanted to be was a professional artist, like a painter. So the...
When you got on drugs and it ruined your basketball
I did not take drugs.
Got it.
No, I was a starter. Because
you're from Panama.
I went to one of the largest high schools in America.
He was a mule, right?
He was a mule. He's Panama.
When he was like 10 years old. Yeah,
yep,
sure.
Yep.
You can ask... The people that I played with, I was a starter my freshman year, and I was a starter my sophomore year for the JV team.
What happened?
And then I didn't make the team at all my junior year.
Really?
Because there were some people that came from other countries and stuff like that, and they were taller than me.
Yeah.
And I was,
Why didn't you try for senior year, though?
I did try again, and I didn't make the team. More people came from outside the country, and that's what happened.
What about the ones that were in the country? What happened with them?
There were other people that were good like me. They
good like you or better than you?
Whatever. Yeah. They were good players in different positions.
That's why they got picked. And
No, listen. I'll give you like Brian Gundaway, right? He was really good.
He was cut. Way better than you.
But he was a point guard.
Y'all mind if I finish? Thank you very much. He got cut every year at Brockton High.
Yeah, he did.
He got cut his freshman, sophomore, and junior.
Was that because of Ortiz's?
No. It's because I'm telling you a story. So what happened was he left his senior and went to Stoughton High, made the team, started, played Brockton High in the playoffs, and dropped 30 on us and kicked us out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I remember.
So does that mean that he wasn't good because he didn't make Brockton High? No, Brockton High's
good analogy.
Yeah, there was like 300 people.
So you should have went to Avon, is what you're saying.
I got asked to.
He would have started.
I got asked to go. Yeah. I started as a center my freshman year.
Wait,
because I grew early. I grew early. I was a starter at North Junior High. I was a center.
But you were in Sterling's class.
Dude, I grew early, and really, then people surpassed. No, I wasn't Sterling's class.
Yeah,
no.
He was 96.
I was 97.
No, I'm saying Sterling was 96.
Sterling was 96, yeah.
So I was a freshman center. And then JV, I was a power forward. And now everybody's grown. Now you got people like 6+. And by the time I get JV year, junior year, you know, when you should be on the varsity team, they're like, well, now he's going to be a small forward, and we have a million small forwards.
1 million.
So they was like, now he's a better shooter than you, so we're going to keep them.
Correct.
And my teammates were like, yo, you're not going to keep Rob? And and it happened again my senior year. Bowen was arguing for me, but Ortiz was like, now we got these white kids who could shoot.
You are an urban statistic.
I was like, dang.
That's because what did Biggie Small say? Either you sell crack rock or you got a wicked jump shot. Right?
Yeah.
You sold crack rock and you had a jump shot and then you rapped.
You never sold crack.
I didn't sell crack.
You sold weed.
Weed.
Yeah, it was weed.
I didn't sell anything.
They taped it to your back.
Whatever. I did not sell anything.
They didn't? You sure?
I never sold drugs.
Are you sure?
You can't remember.
I could have sworn. I can't remember.
You shared a testimony.
Do you really think I sold drugs?
I definitely.
You sold.
I don't think you did it complicitly.
You gave a testimony. You think I sold drugs? When you came back, when you came to America from Panama.
Boom. Exactly.
First of all.
Had to wrap marijuana around your stomach.
Bam.
Listen, so what are you talking about?
That makes perfect sense.
In Brooklyn, New York.
Oh.
That's what your birth certificate says.
Oh, my goodness, man.
Got it.
First of all.
You can be honest
I witnessed you selling drugs.
First of all.
Yeah.
That's
all
right. When I'm
he
not
was
gonna
a big drug dealer,
we were all pressured in the car to sell drugs.
Yeah.
And one got out in
Panama.
Yep.
Panama. Panama Canal.
Two drug dealers here, people.
Panama Canal.
My father sold drugs.
And he taped the drugs to your back.
Oh, my goodness.
No, and then your mom ran the house on Montello Street.
So I wanted to be a painter, I wanted to be a basketball player, and I wanted to be a rapper.
Wow. I knew about the painter. I did not know.
Yeah.
That makes so sense. You know what I'm going to give you? You were pursuing your goals.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, for real. Like, you were the second person I knew making mixtapes. Sean was the first. Like, that was like years prior. But you was like literally going to Sean Florence's house making little mixtapes.
Sean Florence?
I think you made a whole mixtape.
Yeah, man. I was
you
there
did a whole mixtape of yourself.
I was there one of the days.
Dang, I hope he has it. I hope he
you
has
made
it.
An actual, he no, he made an actual cassette mixtape.
No, I was there. I remember the day I was there, I was with one of the girls there. We were in the room.
I bet.
While they were doing the mixtape stuff. I remember that day.
Who was William Wells in high school? We know who he was. He was on track. He was on track to be a basketball player, a rapper, an artist. Rob was entertainment, athletic industry. And he was the only one. I think he was focused on his goals. Like,
he used to always kill it with the battle rapping we had every morning.
Yeah, by the lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
Outside
the green and the red.
Now it all makes sense. Do you see that? Yeah, you stayed on track. That's awesome. What about you?
What about me?
Who were you in high school?
I was confused in high school. I thought I was...
Sexually?
No. Sexually, I knew what I liked. I liked the ladies.
We got to clarify.
That was pretty obvious. I loved the ladies.
Pan.
I loved the ladies in high school. You quiet, man. And so... I was a huge racist... Like, I hated white people, man.
Did you?
I hated white people.
Why? Did you have a reason to hate white people?
I used to use the Bible to preach hate.
You fit well.
Hold on. During lunchtime, I would have people sitting around me while they listened to me talk all this stuff about hating white folks and all this racist stuff. And it was so crazy, but I was just so confused, and I just wanted a sense of belonging. I wanted a sense of control and power because there were still things that I... never dealt with when I was a child, things that happened to me. So I was just trying to find my place. And I thought, you know, feeling this certain way and having people look at me and respect and listen to what I'm saying, that's what I needed to do.
Did you have goals?
As a racist?
No.
Oh, I had goals as a racist.
Well,
let me tell you something.
Three
you know what,
people this week.
You know what? You know what people don't know?
What?
I was the first person to protest standing for the flag.
No, sir.
Listen, 14 years old, I got people to protest in my class and in other classes, said, no, 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 we're not going to stand for the flag because the flag doesn't represent us. It's racist. Wow. Kaepernick. Racist. So we all, so a few of us, there's like 10 of us, we all sat. And of course, I got into trouble and the teachers weren't liking it because I was doing it for the entire week. And so I got called into the dean's office. He's like, oh, you know, how are we not standing under the flag? We're like, you can't get me in trouble for not standing for the flag. That's my right. I don't have to stand for the flag. And he's like, well, can't you at least, like, what if you stand and you just don't put your hand on it? I said, okay, I can do that.
Were you ever a bully in school at any time?
I was a bully. I was a huge bully in elementary school and even in middle school.
Really?
In high school, I was a bully. Yeah. So, like I said, I was confused. I didn't stop. I stopped being a racist because I realized that white people weren't all bad. Like, I met great teachers like Mrs. Mead, Mrs. Joyce, Mr. Gormley.
Did they have white guilt?
Brett Gormley. No.
No.
Brett Gormley, they don't need all that nonsense. And so, and Brett Gormley became a real close friend of mine. Shout out to Brett. You know what I'm saying? So, like, my whole entire mindset.
I remember.
My whole entire mindset shifted, man. I'm like, how in the world have I been thinking like this
when
all these people in front of me are trying to help me and they're treating me like this? They're nothing like I thought they would be.
Do you remember one defining moment in you and Brett's relationship?
When I tried to strangle him?
Yes. Strangle's a nice word.
I did.
I tried to suffocate him.
Because, yo.
And take his lights.
So, Brett and I, Brett was good with the cracks, man. That dude, listen. He can crack.
Even remember why.
I remember.
What did he say?
Oh, I remember.
He still got what
he kept calling me, like, McGilla or something like that. Yo, and I was so mad because, like, everybody was laughing. And I'm trying to say stuff, and they're like, no, corny. And then Brett was saying something else. And I'm like,
he would make sound effects with the punchline.
I know, man. That's why he was so funny.
I don't remember how you got him in a headlock, though.
Because I forgot what happened. Man. But all of a sudden, I found myself with him in a headlock, and I'm strangling him. He's like, Will, let him go. No, I'm going to kill him.
He was literally trying. We were at Leo's house.
At Leo's house in Easton.
This dude, literally.
Right. I did.
Like, he blacks out.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're like, wait a minute. Pause. Time. Because Brett, here's the thing. Brett is about six what? How
he's 6'5".
About 6'5". Yep. Tall white dude, red hair.
John B.
Straight
up.
He fit in the capping crew.
He did.
And so we're in a crack session as normal as what teenagers do.
Correct.
And he was winning in the battle. And somehow
Will
puts him in a headlock and he's like, ooh, take that. How does that feel?
I did.
How does that feel? You like that? You like that?
Okay, LL.
And so he's just like, get off. Get off of me. I was like, whoa, he can't breathe.
I
can't breathe.
Yeah.
And so I remember debriefing.
You guys shunned me for like a week.
Dude.
Y'all stayed away from me.
We thought you were psycho. We thought you were a psycho. It was like, and he was like, he's not going to do that to me. You know how I have felt about white people. I was like, bro, but he's your bro. Like, he's your brother. Like, no. And I think that was like a pivotal moment of like you and your whiteness, because you had to confront your own past with actually having a relationship with this dude.
Did. And it helped me. That moment actually really helped me with my transition, because I realized how ridiculous I was being and all that nonsense I was spewing and then using the Bible to back up what I was. I felt so bad about what I did.
Did you ever practice any other religion other than Christianity?
Dude.
Setting up some stories.
Yeah, so
this is all in high school.
I was a Muslim.
This is about goals, right? This is about if we realize.
No, who you were in high school.
I was a Muslim.
Did you have any goals to be a Muslim?
I did not have any goals, though. I was a Muslim, and then I became a Hebrew Israelite, and then I found God going to church at Lincoln.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah.
It was like I said, it was an identity issue. I was trying to find myself, and unfortunately, I got caught up in the wrong things and thought I was supposed to be a certain way. But I found myself and stayed on this right path since.
Did you have plans senior year in high school to go to college, and for what?
Yeah, so my senior year, I wanted to go to college. I went to Massasoit.
You wanted to go there?
Yeah, I wanted to go to school.
No, there.
No, but. I wanted to go to school. So
what was your plan? What was your plan?
So I wanted to go to Massasoit. I wanted to go there for liberal arts, graduate with
You wanted to go for liberal arts?
Go for liberal arts.
So you didn't have a plan. Got it.
Graduate with the associate's degree, then go on to get a bachelor's degree.
In liberal arts.
In what?
In business.
In business. So you went into the business.
Unfortunately, okay. I did good my first year. My second year, I didn't do too well because, you know, that was what I was really dealing with. My mom's illness.
Yeah, that's a big.
So I just dropped out. Like, I dropped from the face of the earth anyway. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And then I went back to school when I got married. I got my bachelor's degree. And my associate's degree. And then I got my bachelor's from my Andersonville Theological Seminary.
I had no goals in high school.
For real?
I had none. Man, like,
nobody could tell.
This dude was in the basement.
He comes to class
every year with a business card so he can sell his drugs.
No book bag, just a pencil.
Just a pencil.
Can I get a piece of paper?
Never seen this dude with books.
You know what's funny though?
How did you pass?
I used to get mad that you were not carrying a book bag.
But how did you pass high school? You didn't do any work.
Here's my secret.
I don't get it.
Would you like to know my secret?
Please.
There was this new guidance counselor who had just started working.
Okay.
Right? And she told me, I would think it was my sophomore year, maybe my sophomore going into junior. She was like, listen, people don't know, you only need a certain amount of credits to graduate. And I think it was like 98 credits.
True, you do.
And I was like, really? She was like, yes. So all you have to do is pass this class, and that's it. I was like, really? Like, that's it? And from that point, I created a schedule that was super easy. Obviously. Right. I also picked my own classes. So yeah. I would pick the easiest classes.
How did you get to pick your own? We never got
this
to
this is what I'm saying. Time. She schooled me to the game and I was like, what? I picked my English class. This is the dumbest thing, but I did it. I would pick basic English, right? Basic kids who were barely remedial, right? And obviously I wasn't, but I found the easiest classes to take. You barely had to do work because they didn't get homework. They didn't get real homework. So I would be in there. But then it was times where, like, so some of my friends, they knew. It's like, dude, he's not. He's just here because he did this. So I would pretend to read illiterately.
Dang.
Just so I could stay in the class.
You punk.
I was like, and the teacher's like, sound it out, Robert. Sound it out. Sound it out.
The cat.
I'm telling you the truth.
I did that in middle school.
Dang, man.
No word of a lie.
I did that in middle school because Stefan and I had the same class. And I was like, oh, I want to stay in class with Stefan, though. So,
yes.
Because we want to go in every class together. So I pretended I couldn't read that.
Dude. So I did that. I set it up where I had all three lunches. Every day, you know, my print shop class, as you guys call it, I picked that class because I found out.
He's making business cards.
Dude,
business cards.
I found out, I was like, you didn't get real grades in there. Like, there was no test. You didn't have to do homework.
No.
I was like, oh my gosh, I can do this? So I picked the easiest path, path of least resistance.
Look at you.
And it was just like, oh, I had like three cooking classes. On my schedule.
Cooking class was awesome, though.
Mrs. What's her name?
Mrs. Logan.
And listen, Logan.
She was awesome.
Right. I had her twice a week.
Loved that class.
And she was like, why are you here? I was like, oh, I got it again.
I blame you, Gene Merrill.
Dude, I found the easiest path to just coast through my 4 years of high school. No, freshman year was kind of hard because I didn't know the game yet. Right? And so I was like, but the problem is, I didn't have no goals. So it didn't matter.
You didn't go to college right after high school?
No, I didn't. It was like almost a year
later.
You went
to work with Tommy?
I went to the warehouse.
The warehouse.
Worked at a warehouse. Yeah. Here's the thing. My father, I was barely 18.
Mm-hmm.
His mindset was, oh, well, you got to stop paying rent. I was like, how? He was like, it was literally the summer of graduation. He was like, all right, you can't sleep. You can't stay here.
Get a job.
If you don't, I was like, I'm barely 18. You want me to pay rent, get a job, have a career path? I was like, how am I supposed to do that?
Did he go to college?
No.
So in his mindset,
where was I going to work? A warehouse.
Listen.
Or a security guard.
You could own a home in Alabama guard. By now.
Right. I could have what?
Own a home in Alabama.
Right, in Alabama. So
give up.
I didn't have a goal.
Segregation still exists.
Heck out of here. And so I just was like, yo, what are we doing here now? I think, like, you know, my co-host, who's a, you know, reformed whoremonger, you just find time to just do wherever, how, because you don't have no goals. But then you find out that girls are like, they're talking about college and stuff. And, you know, I'm going somewhere to college and people started branching off. I'm like, you going to school for real? Yeah. Like, how do you do that?
And I remember visit my sister's college all the time.
That's exactly what we did. We visited everybody who was in college.
Every college.
Who was in college?
All the campuses were our
friends. But we weren't in school.
We weren't in school.
It was like Whitbread.
Right.
Going to parties.
Which one?
Whitbread.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Going to parties.
Right. Not in school.
Acting like idiots.
Working some part time jobs. But then you're like, oh, shoot, I'm almost 20. Yeah. I better figure something out here. Like, but I did. I didn't have no plan. You know, getting the little dead end jobs, all of them. I worked every dead end job from security.
Wow.
Which was I'm not secure at all. Like, what do you want me to do other than stand there?
I loved being a security guard when I was
one. What was that? NES you worked at?
I worked at NES as a security guard. I sure did. NES. 2 years.
New England sports.
I was like, I was the man, boy.
Yeah, yeah. All the dead end jobs, it didn't produce anything.
It did not.
I think that's why later in life I was like, yo, I can't, I've wasted enough time, you know, and like, so now goal centered had to be the goal, you know, even with my son, sometimes I get a little nervous because he'd be like, I don't know what I'm going to do, Dad. And a lot of these kids, they have no kind of thought process of what am I going to do after high school?
My daughter does.
She does?
Yeah, my youngest, yeah.
She wants to be a veterinarian?
She does.
Your kids know what they want to be?
Yes, they do.
What is your oldest want
to
be?
So Zaria wants to get into interior decorating, and she's really good at it.
Really?
Yeah, that's why you come in and see her room, and you're like,
yeah, what about your middle child?
Right now, she's just into wanting to be a dancer and stuff like
that. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Nah. But, you
know, she's 13, so.
Yeah, right. And he's...
I mean, granted, I mean, his daughter is around the same age, and she wants to be a vet.
She already knows.
So, but the goal is to keep them thinking.
Yeah.
And not to just, like, spend your time on TV and all that stuff, and then senior year comes in, like, I don't have any plan.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, he's 15, and, I mean, I don't expect him to have it all figured out right now.
Sure.
You know what I mean? He's got his first job, which is great. You know, starts his little gig. He's like, I want to do this. I want to get a job. I want to get a car. Yada yada yada, blah blah blah, like that. That's great.
You used to do the vision parties. Did you ever do it with your son?
No, it's a great idea.
Oh, the vision board parties.
Vision board parties.
You came, yeah.
Yeah, I was there.
The vision board. That's good.
I didn't have $5.
You do vision. You do vision boards with your family.
We did one. I did one with my wife.
Yeah.
I didn't do it with my girls, but that's a good idea.
Yeah.
My wife, I did.
Maybe the start of the year.
No, that's a good idea. I think one thing we're doing is like we're trying to expose him to stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like my thing with him is I want you to see what is out there so that you can make an informed decision. Like my parents, like it's funny you bring up the thing about my father not going to college. So in their mind, because they were baby boomers who, you know, they just had to work to survive and you take care of your kids. There was no, like, my mother's goal was to get me through high school. She felt like once I got you through high school, you go find a job, you can get a job at the T, or you work for
union jobs.
Right.
Get a union
job. Or you work for the post office.
Pick up a trade.
Union job.
You work, getting you a good job, work at the post office or the VA, right?
Or the T.
Oh, that's what I said, the T.
Yes.
Right. So you get your good job. Mm-hmm. If you got there, they got good benefits. You're going to work 999 years. Right. but that's it. And so they felt like, yo, this is how you're going to live your life. That's it. And you know?
I truly believe that our experience as youth ministers has really helped us as far as building relationships with not only our own children, but other children, even young adults.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can
absolutely.
See, you can see, like, when we see people teaching in classrooms, when we see people interact with kids, you're like, no, do it this way because we know that it works. But us having that experience, you've been able to transition that into everything that we've been able to do, mm-hmm. and it's been successful because of that experience.
You know what I think also too, like kids will keep you from becoming complacent.
Absolutely.
we would really struggle.
Well, they should
keep
you from becoming complacent. Right? Yeah.
We would struggle in a regimen predictable
right.
scenario absolutely. For 30 plus years. Yes, like yes. You could not put me in a cubicle and say, this is what you're going to do every day, right. in and out, blah, 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 blah.
I would hate that.
It's like I death.
Because we're artists. We like to create.
That's right.
You know, and you, Finisher, was one of the best teachers of my entire life. Of I all agree. Aspects 100%. Of life.
Yeah.
And now you got these teachers absolutely. Going into the teaching field that have never had that experience.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's probably my answer, why I never went that route. Because people didn't understand it. They were like, you know, you just need to, you know, teach in the classroom and do blah, 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 blah. I would hate it. Like, I will create my own curriculum in a second, right?
I used to love that.
And teach it in the way that it makes sense for me, right? But don't put me in your box and say you're going to teach English like this for 99 years.
But you know how to make curriculum relatable.
Right. That's the point.
And you know why?
That's the point.
Well, because you're on gifting, but also try teaching a kid that doesn't have to be there. Like youth ministry. Oh, first of all, my parents didn't make this kid come. Right. Their parents didn't make them come in. We went and got them. We went into a relationship with them. We picked them up from their house. They want to be here.
Yes.
And even if they came here because their parents didn't make them, now let's see if you can actually keep their attention.
Do you think
by the time we got to the school system, that was cake.
Do you think the schools know how to handle creatives?
No. Absolutely not.
I think we can all agree on that.
What's the first thing when there's a budget cut? Get rid of the art programs. What's next? Get rid of the sports programs.
Yeah.
Home ec. What's home ec? Do they even do home ec anymore?
Shoot, do they even do life Please. Skills or
financial
literacy for crying out loud?
That's a problem.
Home ec now is push that microwave button.
Yeah. I think honestly, that's why I struggled, because I had the creative bug, but I did not know how to navigate on that path.
Right.
Like, there was nobody to say, hey, here's where you can go. Maybe you want to go into journalism, or maybe you want to get into entrepreneurship. I found out the word entrepreneur when it was too late. It was just like, dude, that's what that person does?
I know, right?
That means they can create something and then make money off of it? I was doing it, but I didn't know that's what it was. So when I'm selling business cards and making them up, I'm an entrepreneur, but I didn't know. I'm thinking, oh, I'm just going to get some lunch money, right? But now it's these suckers who are like 12 years old who are doing that and are making millions of dollars on YouTube.
So the two of you went from remedial reading classes to creating your own curriculum. What was the first thing you ever created?
I told you I was in a remedial reading class on purpose.
I know.
Yes.
But what was the first thing you ever created?
Why you get all defensive there, Gunny?
What's the first thing you
ever
created?
You went from remedial classes to writing a book.
I can't hear what Rush just said.
What was the first thing you ever created?
That I ever created?
Was the first thing you ever created, was it a workout routine? Was it a karate routine?
The first thing I ever created on my own was an actual workout routine and meal plan that I believed would help people, and that all the things that I send to people, those are my ideas. They're not from anyone else. These are my ideas because I know what works. I do my research, I do studying, I went to school, so I understand the science behind losing weight, gaining weight, putting on muscle, all that stuff. So my whole idea is what I push to people, and that's what I use with my
And that, that didn't come from something in high school.
No, that didn't come from something in high school. No, it didn't.
This is why Resurrect University is going to succeed.
Absolutely.
This is exactly why. I'm seeing more revelation.
The first thing I ever saw.
The alternative lifestyle for creatives. Go ahead, sir.
I saw, you remember, they call them GIMP here in Massachusetts. GIMP.
You made GIMP?
Yeah. So in New York, they used
to. I thought only girls did that.
No, creative people.
What's a
GIMP? You don't remember the little fluorescent thing?
Oh, that's what that's called?
The Chinese.
They had all the stuff.
In Massachusetts.
Think that all your sisters made.
Yeah. In Massachusetts, they call them GIMP. In New York, they used to call them lanyards. And I did like a summer school program, and I learned, and it, just being creative, I learned how to do that stuff. I'm like, yo, Chinese staircase, the Cobra. I used to make those. I went to Raymond Elementary school, and I used to sell them bad boys for like quarter to 75 cents, depending on how long it was.
Did you create your own Bart Simpson shirts?
I did the pants, and I did everything, the shirts, the pants. I used to draw the black Bart because like nobody get the black Bart, so I would create them. Then my mother got in on it, and she had her friends give me clothes so I can do it for them.
Wow.
I would put glitter on it. I had Bart with afro with some Nikes on. I was making money, son.
Wow. Remember, Rob created a shirt for me where I think it was Goku or the Hulk fighting Superman.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? It was years ago. But I wore that shirt until it just wore out, dude. But I would get compliments on that shirt all the time, especially from like young guys.
You made the Stand Back Under Reconstruction shirts for the youth ministry, the conference. Stand Back, they were orange. Yeah. I think Libby still has that shirt.
I remember.
She wore it.
You know who had that shirt?
Renee Haywood. Because orange is her favorite color.
Wow. Yo, and you made all the youth ministry little poster boards.
Yeah. Did you make those shirts with that retreat in New Hampshire? The last retreat?
Yes, I did.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, I did.
Yeah, I still got
Jay Walker's.
Yeah.
Jay Walker.
Yeah.
Came up with that name.
I remember.
Step group. I taught step. I was stepping at the age of 14.
Wow.
And I taught step. I was a step advisor for Suffolk University.
Wow.
You know, I think that's one of my whys as to why I try to help the younger generation. Mm-hmm. Because there were kids
like me who
nobody was helping to really navigate.
Absolutely.
Like, all of us.
There was kids like us.
That's why we're so passionate about it.
Right. Who did not... Mm-hmm. Like, we are advocates for listening. Yes. There's other ways of learning.
Absolutely.
There's other tracks that you can take.
Absolutely.
Let's help navigate and guide you in that space. I struggled because... I could not see myself going on the track that everybody was trying to say, this is the way that you... And I was like, yo, maybe there's something wrong with me, right? I didn't have the specific, oh, you want to be a police officer? Oh, you want to... I remember them asking me, I was like, I don't know, right? Because you only had like 5 or 7 categories of which way you wanted to go. And I was like, I don't really... How do I even go to college?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, is there something that I could learn? Because I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
And that's what I was saying with the in the other podcast. Like, you know, the because of now the season that we're in with the pandemic and COVID and stuff like that, they have to rethink just the regular path that everybody's going to take in order to be educated. Because they, and also it's also in a spiritual aspect too. It's like from. So this is how confused I was in school.
Yes.
School didn't know how to educate me.
Yes.
The church didn't know how to disciple me.
Come on, bro. Come
so it's like,
come on.
Where the heck do I go? So I just did the normal young black man thing. Like, oh, I want to be a rapper. Well, I went on 2 rap labels that failed. Well, I want to be a basketball player. Well, they didn't put me on a team just because I didn't fit their box, right? Mm. When other schools wanted me, but my mother wasn't going to let me go to another school just to play a sport.
Pastor
so Rob. Now I wanted to do... I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to be a fine art painter, right? So what does that mean? Go to Mass Art. What happened with that? That's too much money. My mother couldn't afford it. So I ended up in Massasoit. No disrespect to Massasoit. But those things, like, you only give me these handful of paths.
Yeah.
What are you doing? That's why I go so hard with the way that I disciple and preach now, because I know there's a bunch of people like me that couldn't find themselves in that box, but there is a box for you.
Please.
That was designed by God.
Please give a commercial for Resurrect University.
Resurrect University is starting up ASAP. So what we're doing is Resurrect, you know, the church is redeeming every champion. It's called Resurrect Church because we believe that because of the resurrection of Christ, he can redeem every champion. So we're starting a workshop school that we are going to be teaching, where it's for you. We want to help redeem every champion. So Resurrect University. So who are you? Who are you? Are the person that needs to be redeemed? And this university has health and wellness. It has financial literacy. It has relationship goals. It has mental healthness awareness. So we're doing all of this.
Entrepreneurship.
So all these things we're going to be teaching. And guess how much it costs? It's free. So we want to do this for all ages.
Wow.
You know, I believe that if public schools wouldn't be failing like they are now, if more people in power would understand the importance of finding creative ways to educate our children, especially our children.
Yeah.
Children who look like us, who think differently, who see things differently. We keep pushing college all the time. Mm. And college is good, but some of these kids don't want to go to college. Some of these kids aren't destined for college. So we need to find ways where we're educating our children. And if the school system can start to do that and do that consistently, I think things will start to change as far as scores and everything else.
Now, I was going to add to that. And we're not talking about just adding another elective.
Right? Yeah, yes.
No, put them on a path.
Right.
Purpose.
That this thing that you think is secondary purpose. Is actually their main thing.
Absolutely. Yes. Could you imagine? I say that again because that makes me so mad. They dilute the quality of the other path. And they treat it like, yeah, that little activity thing that you do, which really that needs to be the primary focus. Right.
This is just like, oh, we got a grant, so we're adding this so we can keep funding money. No, this kid is an artist.
Right.
That kid is great at mechanics. This kid over, like, this kid is great at creating curriculums.
Right.
Like, acknowledge the gift. Create a path first that will show, because we don't create a path in schools where we could just acknowledge the gifts to find out what the gifts are.
Right.
Like, all our kids are not going to be farmers.
They're not.
All our kids are not going to be working in factories.
Yep.
So what else is there for them? They're all not going to be scientists.
Right.
So what is there for? What about the kids now? We got gaming. You know, we got, you know, like, you know, YouTube influencers and stuff like that.
Yes.
Like, no, let's not minimize
it. You need to be pushing the creative arts education just as much as you're pushing the STEM stuff.
Absolutely.
Like, it needs to be right there on the same level of what you're pushing for these STEM programs, these long classes, which we already know, like, you can eliminate half of that stuff, right? Well, here's the thing. We're saying that, listen, we're going to be offering that. And I believe this is a system game changer, right? Like, here's the other part. Like, here's what y'all don't know. A lot of us, you know, we got a lot of resistance, right? So what we're saying is that we're creating because you said no. That's the other part. You wouldn't allow us in. So now we're saying, you know what? We're going to do it our way anyway. It's like our whole career of coming up as rap. A lot of that was you couldn't get to the level because they just wouldn't let you get there. So, okay, cool. You won't let us get there? We'll go start our own label and do it the way that we know to do it anyways, right? And it's successful because we already know there's mass need for it. There's just, like, now the shift has to happen. And I'm glad, like, getting to one of the episodes we talked about, I'm glad that the system is being shaken up. I think that this is definitely a great time for Resurrect University. It's my prayer, especially in a stupid North where they're like, we're so heavy on... Because we're not creatives in terms of how we're packaging stuff. Like, we're hard on...
Well, I mean, we're in Massachusetts where they're really good at what they do. Massachusetts is number one from K to 12 in education.
Right.
So it's like, well, we're good at it. Why would we change?
The first school was in Massachusetts.
You know? It's like, why would we change?
Right.
How about you change because the demographic's not the same? Not even just the demographic is the same. At the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with STEM. STEM is beautiful, but that's not for everybody.
Right.
There are some things that you need to, like, everybody should learn math. Everybody should learn science. But why can I learn math and science and still be on a path to highlight how God has made me?
Yes.
You know? Because all three of us are not... It's funny. All three of us are in education, but none of us really strived in the path that they set for us in education.
At all. At all,
so
right?
We're back in there to help the others.
Exactly.
Well, except for the business. I have a pretty good personal training business. Shout out Willpower Faith and Fitness.
Willpower.
Follow me on Instagram.
He sent you back to help people.
No, he should. It's really good.
That's what he said. He said you're back to help people.
I'm talking about my degree in business.
I don't understand what you're saying.
So I got a degree in business, and at first I wasn't really using that degree, but now I'm using that degree.
Yeah, all three of us have a degree in business.
Yeah, right? It's funny. Yeah, that's funny. And we never even talked about it as coming
what
up.
We do. Like,
it wasn't like, yo, let's go do this, da-da-da-da.
I'm an entrepreneur. I've started a church.
Yeah.
That's a business. That's an organization.
Whoa, don't say that.
It's a friggin'
don't
business.
Don't say that
too. Business.
It's a business. Some people might disagree with you, buddy.
What is it? There's a market. There's a product.
It is a spiritual business.
It's a business.
If
you're
in
the
run
business,
with the same mindset, you're crazy.
Ask Deadbeat Baptist Church, who's going out of business. It's not working, man. So yeah, man, that was just good. It was good. I'm excited. I'm excited about Resurrect University.
I'm excited too.
It's interesting how full circle, like, even as I talk, this little revelational points that hit. It's like, I see the whys. I see how or why, like, you're doing what you're doing in this season, God. It's like, I get it. That makes so much sense.
It does.
That makes so much sense. And I really feel like Resurrect Church is definitely an epicenter of innovation and creative. Right. for the creatives. Like, right. we've talked about that. Like, it's needed, and it's the culture needs that now. Right. You know, not tomorrow. It needs it now.
And God is pushing us forward because we're ready now. We're ready to do it.
Yeah, the
ready
arts help to bring forth people.
The curriculum. We're ready to bring forth the transformation. We're ready now.
Yes.
That's why it's being pushed now.
Yes.
And getting, so people who are in there are leaving, or they're getting removed, and now God's making
places He's gonna give us for a us building,
to continue to move up.
Like I a believe good it. Building. We might it. End up building it.
I believe it.
We might end up building it.
I believe it.
The way things are going now, I mean, every week God has been blowing my mind on what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just look at, like, Will's a testament. Willpower blew up because of the pandemic.
Yeah, right?
It sure true. Did. It sure did.
Because of what God has done with his life. True, he's like, buddy. I'm going to show you how to survive this, too.
It sure did.
You know?
Sure did.
Yeah. Okay. Yo, when we call Will, he's like, hey, we need to pick a day in order to do the next episode for the podcast. And William said, yo, I got too many clients. I got to move things around.
I was surprised. Like, I was like, that's not the same thing. I was like, really?
I was like, that's what's up.
That's
what's up.
That's crazy.
That's so true. Yeah, I was like, oh,
I was excited. Okay. I was like, yo, stunt on us, son.
Yo, God's been good, man. Send people my way. I have old clients from Workout World years ago who are reaching back out to me, and I'm starting to train them again.
Yeah.
Years ago.
It's like, well, the fat came back.
It's funny. It's so I was having this conversation with my wife, and I was like, babe, I was like, my season of, you know, chill, I was like, it's coming to an end, babe. I was like, I've been intentionally not doing too much of anything to devote this time. But I'm telling you, that's about to shift. Like, 2021, our level of activity and influence and all that other stuff, I was like, oh, it's coming. You know what I mean? We're launching out the first course of Resurrect Church, Resurrect University. That's the beginning of it. And we're doing this in the fourth quarter, right? Correct. Like, everything that we're doing, I'm getting excited. It's so against the grain of what people think that you should be doing, how you should be doing it, right, in the wind of what you need to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when God is like, yo, I could show up. I'm ready to show out. And, you know, we're seeing buildings close, and he's just like, yo, just pick the one that you want. Like, right, if you don't That's want right. that one, That's I'll right. give you another one.
Come on, God.
You know what I'm saying?
Come
like,
on, God.
It, because I'm telling you, I was like, oh, this is, I see it.
We're
like,
going to do this for real.
I see it.
I'm doing this, brother.
I see it.
Do this.
Yeah.
Do it.
Buddhist?
Do it.
He said, do this.
Do it.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to be full-time Buddhist.
Full-time Buddhist. It's it. Yo, it's here, son. It's here. Well, that's all for today, fellas.
That's all for today.
I'm excited.
Shout out to the vegans. I don't hate you. It's okay.
Shout out to Brett Gormley.
We need to do a whole health and wellness episode.
Yeah, we should.
Coming up soon.
Because there's too many fat people in the world.
Okay, great. That's a good way to end it out.
Do you know America Samoa is the most overweight, obese population in the world?
Samoans?
America Samoa.
What's that?
Property of the United States.
Where's that at?
It's in Samoa. It's near Hawaii. The Hawaiian Islands.
Well, they purposely do that, don't they?
Huh?
I thought they did that on purpose.
I mean, they eat a lot. Yeah. They eat a lot of garbage, though.
That's not a part of their culture?
That is part of their culture.
I thought the fatter you were, the more appealing or something like that.
Yeah, but that's the thing. So the people are trying to change their culture, trying to change the way they think, but they're the most obese people.
Yeah.
Did you also know that 100% of fat people are obese? I just want to give out a fact because he gave out one.
Until the next episode, y'all. Okay. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. Catch you on the
flip. I would say first.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Three Kings Podcast. Make sure to follow us on all social media platforms at Three Kings Podcast, or visit us on the web at his3kings.com. Until next time, let a king be a king. Peace.